Okay, now back to our study here in Acts chapter 18. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said down here in verse 10. The Lord's promise to the apostle in this vision that he receives. He said, I am with you. No man will set on thee to hurt you, for I have much people. You see that? I have much people in this city. Now, Paul was a stranger when he went there. He didn't know anybody in that city. He didn't know a person, and no one in that city knew him. But the Lord had a people that he knew. You remember that scripture, the foundation of God standeth sure, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I have much people in this city. Now that must have encouraged the Apostle Paul. Therefore he said, don't leave, don't leave. And he continued there for a year and a half. The Lord Jesus Christ has an elect, chosen people given to him in that blessed eternal covenant of grace. The Lord often referred to that in his ministry upon the earth among men. He said, all that the Father giveth to me, they'll come to me, and those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord has a people. The Lord has a chosen people given to him in that blessed eternal covenant of grace. And this covenant of grace is ordered in all things. It's sure, it's certain, and absolute. I like what David said about that covenant. He said, although it be not so with my house, God had made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things, and is sure this is all my hope and all my salvation. And then the Apostle Paul, when he says this, the God of peace that brought again from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. This blessed covenant of grace, it's ordered, it's certain, it's sure. These covenant people, just as those covenant people here in Corinth, although Paul didn't know them, God did. And God called them out with the preaching of the gospel. Those covenant people will hear the gospel, blessed with God the Holy Spirit, and they will fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him for all thy salvation, all their salvation, because the Lord makes them willing in the day of his power. Paul writes this to those there in Thessalonica. He said, we know you're the elect of God. We know you're the people of God, because our gospel came not to you in word only, but in power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And you were blessed to believe the gospel. Now, Acts 18, verse 1, after these things, after all that took place in Athens, Paul preaching the gospel there on Mars Hill, Paul departed from Athens and he came to this city known as Corinth. Paul boldly preached the gospel in Athens, and some people believed the gospel there. The Lord had a people there as well, but as far as we know, there was no gospel church established in Athens, but in Corinth. Then the Lord brought him to this city. We see the Lord established a gospel ministry there because he had much people. We've been looking at 1 and 2 Corinthians for the last couple years in our Bible study, and we see how the Lord instruct them and bless them in the way of salvation. You think about this. Paul writes these inspired letters given to these people, but he's also writing right down to us. It applies to us today. It's God's word to us. Athens was known as the intellectual city of much learning and philosophy. We looked at that last week. Corinth, this city, was known as a city of commerce and business. It was kind of like the New York City of that area. You can look at your maps today. That city is still there, the city of Corinth. And I go to Google Map and look at those things, and it's still there. That city's still there. I wonder if the gospel's still there. I doubt it very much. But this time, at this time, the Lord had a people there, and a people that needed to be called with the gospel. So what did God do? He sent a gospel preacher. Now, look at verse 2 and 3. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla. Now, we run into them in Scripture a lot, Aquila and Priscilla. They were Jewish. They were living in Rome, Italy, but they had to flee because that the emperor, Claudius, commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and they came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, that is Paul, and he worked with them, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Now we see something of the providence of God. At the time that Aquila and Priscilla lived in Rome, although they were Jewish, they didn't believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had not heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see how the good and sovereign providence of God works to bring his sheep to hear the gospel. Now, Aquila and Priscilla were persecuted, and they were forced to leave Rome because of the persecution against the Jews, and they traveled many miles from Rome, Italy, all the way down south to Corinth, and they had to do so by ship. They had to take a ship. It's well over 500 miles. They came all the way to this city of Corinth, probably to restart their business and to establish a business there making tents. Well, guess who they ran into? They ran into God's servant, the Apostle Paul. Now, this was no accident, was it? Probably at the time when Aquila and Priscilla were being persecuted for being Jewish, and they had to leave their business, probably forsake their house, and they thought, man, this is hardship. But they ran right into the gospel of God. You see how the providence of God works together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to God's purpose. This couple was forced out of Rome, and they came to the city of Corinth, and they met God's servant. But more than that, better than that, they met the Lord Jesus Christ. They met the Lord Jesus Christ. Both were brought to Christ in faith, and they're mentioned in the book of God. Paul in Romans 16 calls Aquila and Priscilla my helpers in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we studied from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul said, greet them, Aquila and Priscilla, and greet the church that meets in their house. So they became faithful believers. We're going to see more of that in the end of this chapter when they, Aquila and Priscilla, are used of God to help Apollos understand more of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3, we learn that Paul was hired by this couple to help make tents. Now, Paul was a total stranger to them, but because he was looking for some way to get some food, and he didn't want to go out on the street as a beggar, so he said, I'm a tent maker. I'm going to find somebody in that city making tents. And he went to work as a tent maker. He learned this craft sometime in his early life. I don't know when. We don't have a record of it. But somehow he learned this trade, much like the Lord Jesus Christ learned a trade. You remember, he was a carpenter. They called him the carpenter's son. One old writer said this, and I thought it good. An honest trade by which you support your family is commendable. We have here mechanics. We have here construction people, carpenters. We have here welders and miners and electricians, and all these different trades. An honest trade by which you support your family is commendable. Commendable. Commendable unto God. Aquila and Priscilla also provided for Paul room and board. Room and board. And a job. I remember when I was just a young teenager boy and looked for a summer job during school, I went from where I lived to a neighboring state, Wyoming, and found a rancher up there who needed some help. And I got a job working for that rancher. And he paid me $8 a day. $8 a day. But he gave me room and board. And they fed me very well. Room and board. I met with him some years ago. Went back to find him. And I was telling him and reminding him. He paid me $8 a day. He said, yeah, but now they're paying $50 a day. I said, well, that's an improvement after 50 years. That's an improvement. But here's the point. We see again how the Lord takes care of his people. The Lord, he said, I am the Lord Jehovah Jireh. I will provide. We see how the Lord takes care of his people, providing for them as he did for Aquila and Priscilla, as he did for the Apostle Paul. Haven't you who are older seen this through your life, how the Lord provides for you? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know from reading the record in Acts chapter 20 that Paul was not in the ministry for fame or fortune, but rather to the furtherance of the gospel and to the glory of God. If you find over here in Acts chapter 20, he says in verse 32 of Acts 20, and now, brethren, when I commend you to God in the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them who are sanctified. He said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, he said, you know yourselves that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've showed you all things, how so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So working and providing for your family is commendable, and the Lord does provide. The Lord does provide for his people. He's provided a Savior. Certainly, if he's provided us a Savior, he'll provide. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these other things, they'll take care of themselves by and by. Now look at verse 4. And here's what he did. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath day. That was the Saturday in that day, and persuaded in the synagogue the Jews who assembled there and the Greeks who assembled there, and he testified to them that Jesus was the Christ, as it says in the last part of verse 5. While Paul labored privately making tents, he publicly and freely preached the gospel in the synagogue every time they met together. And he reasoned with them out of the scripture. That means Paul took the Old Testament scripture and preached the Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the scriptures. Now, there's an example of that just across the page in Acts 18, verse 28. This man Apollos, he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ of God. Now turn back one page. You remember in Acts 17, in verse 2, Acts 17, verse 2, Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs suffer and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preached unto you, he is it. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. He's the long-expected Lord Jesus Christ. We will and we must preach the gospel concerning the Lord. Remember in his epistle, he said, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or fleshly wisdom, but I came declaring unto you the testimony of God, determined to preach unto you Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the message. And we will and we must preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can reason with you about the things of God and the gospel of God, but it takes God to reveal God to your heart. Paul preached to them. He plainly preached to them. But he said, your faith shouldn't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It takes God to reveal God. Now hold your place there and find Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Our Lord said this. I was speaking of this scripture early this morning in Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, Matthew 11:25. You with me? I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because I withhid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me, my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You see, it takes God the Holy Spirit to reveal the gospel unto us. Again, in the book of Matthew, if you want to turn over a couple pages, you remember in Matthew chapter 16, when the Lord asked Peter, whom do you say that I am? Matthew 16:16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, son of a sinner, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Salvation comes by revelation. God the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them unto you, unto us. Now, I tell you the why the Lord has fixed those things the way he has, and it gets down to the bottom line, his glory. His glory. You weren't so smart, you figured this out. The world by wisdom doesn't know God. Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You see, he's the one who commands the light to shine. He's the one that grants faith. He's the one that gives us life in the Lord Jesus Christ. The preaching of the gospel to those who were perishing, what did we read a moment ago in 1 Corinthians 1:18? For the preaching of the gospel to them who were perishing, foolishness. But to those who were called, Christ crucified the wisdom of God. Christ crucified the power of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot know them, cannot discern them. God has to reveal himself unto us. Now back at Acts 18, look at verse 5. Silas and Timothy were come. Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia. You remember Paul left them in Berea when he was forced out of Berea. And he went on to Athens, but he left Silas and Timothy there. And when they were come to Paul here at Corinth, he was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Now, a couple comments here on verse 5. Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea while Paul went to Athens. Now they rejoined back with Paul, and they were much encouragement to help. They were much encouragement to him, and with their presence, they were a help unto him. Now, it made me think about this. How good and how pleasant for the brethren to work and dwell together, to worship together, to live together with the same goal, the same ambition, the same love, the same interest for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're encouraged and instructed in Scripture to encourage one another. Silas and Timothy came to Paul, and he was encouraged. He was encouraged, and he was pressed or encouraged, motivated to further preach the gospel of Christ and him crucified. I thought of this scripture on this point in the book of Amos. It says, two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And that's true. That's true. This gave Paul added boost in his heart and encouragement he needed in his soul to testify again and constantly preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm sure they encouraged him and he encouraged them. The point I'm making is this. We need one another. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. We help one another. Now, verse 6 is a sad note. While Paul preached the gospel, he is pressed by the in his heart, in his spirit, to testify. to declare the gospel of Christ, His person, His work. Now look at verse 6. And these Jews, they opposed the gospel. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, that word means they spoke evil of Paul. They discredited him, his ministry. He shook his raiment off before them and said unto them, your blood, your guilt, your sin on your own head. I'm free from you. I'm clean from you. From henceforth, I'll go into the Gentile. Paul was commanded to preach the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. We have a similar story there. Turn back to Acts chapter 13. When Paul came to Antioch here in Acts chapter 13, remember? Turn back there, verse 44. Acts 13, 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you. But seeing you put it from you, seeing that you put it from yourselves, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed the gospel of God. They willfully rejected and refused to hear and receive and believe the gospel. They were heaping condemnation to their own soul. Those who refused and opposed the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ refuse and oppose the God of the gospel. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. Don't trifle with God. Hear the message and believe it. It is God's word, God's truth. I want you to find the book of Hebrews and look at this scripture here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28. Hebrews 10, verse 28. Look what it says here about those who despised the law of Moses. What happened? Died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Hebrews 10, verse 29. How much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and done despite to the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Paul said, I preach to you the gospel, and you said, away with it. We have no king but Caesar. And Paul said, your condemnation is on your own head. He said, I'm free from you. I preach the gospel to you. You're on your own. Verse 7, back to the text. Verse 7, he departed thence. He departed the synagogues. Verse 7, and he entered into the house of a man by the name of Justus. Justus. He's one that worshiped God. And I take that to mean he believed the gospel. He lived next door to the synagogue. No doubt he was brought up in Judaism, but he was one of those people that the Lord had in that city, in Corinth, that must hear the gospel, that must believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justus, look what it says in verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, were baptized. Not only was Justus heard the gospel and believed, and Crispus heard the gospel and believed, and this man over in verse 17 of Acts 18, then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Galileo cared for none of those things. Now here we see the Lord calling out some of these men here, prominent men in that Jewish synagogue. Justus, Crispus, Sosthenes, and others were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ in saving faith. Now think about this. In that day, for a Jew, especially a Jewish leader, to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and turn his back on Judaism, that was at great personal cost to him. His family turned his back on him. He lost his job. He lost his house. But he gained everything in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He was blessed with all spiritual blessings. Our Lord said, you take a public stand for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it'll cost you. It'll cost you. But in Him we have all things. In Him we have all things, blessed with all spiritual blessings. In verse 8, again, Crispus was given faith to believe on the Lord with all of his house. The Lord blessed him, blessed his family. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, were baptized. Now we know that Paul spent 18 months there. A revival broke out among those people, and many of the Corinthians believed. 18 months. I did the math on that. That's 540 days. 540 days Paul was there preaching, 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 preaching. And the Lord was using that message and calling and quickening and enlightening and revealing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice something here in verse 8 and 9, how the Lord establishes a pattern here, a pattern or method of grace, a pattern of salvation. Notice these things here. The word of truth was preached. Many heard and were blessed with faith. And those who heard and believed, you see the last part of verse 8, they were baptized. They were baptized. They believed on the Lord with all their house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Now those three things. The word of God was preached. You cannot believe what you have not heard. How shall they hear without a preacher? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, remember verse 21? It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to call out his people. We preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the charge God has given to us, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of truth was preached. Secondly, many who heard were blessed with the sovereign gift of faith. Faith is the sovereign gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So the word was preached, many who heard were blessed to believe it, and those who believed the gospel, it says there, they were baptized. They were baptized. Now hold your place there and turn back to Acts chapter 8. Were they baptized to be saved, or were they baptized because God had saved them? Now there's a difference there. They were baptized confessing Christ as all their hope because God by his grace had saved them and revealed the gospel to them. Now remember the story in Acts chapter 8 of this man from Ethiopia who was a eunuch who went to Jerusalem, traveling back to his home country. In verse 32, he was reading the book of Isaiah about the lamb who was led to the slaughter. And his humiliation and judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Verse 34 of Acts chapter 8. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. and preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly what Paul and Peter did. They took the word and preached Christ, reasoned and persuaded that Jesus is the Christ. Read on, Acts 8:36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "Well, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. And when he was come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. Now, water baptism is not salvation. Water baptism is for believers, because we have been brought to the Lord Jesus Christ in saving faith. And we're going to see that all the way through the book of Acts, those who heard, believed, were baptized. The Lord had many and much people in that city. Those 540 days, Paul was preaching the gospel, and the Lord was revealing the gospel unto those people, and they were probably baptizing people constantly. Paul said, "I baptized none but Crispus and Gaius, the house of Stephanus, for he didn't send me just to baptize folks, he sent me to preach the gospel." Now, read on verse 9. "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision and said, 'Don't be afraid, but speak, and don't hold back anything, for I'm with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for or because I have much people. I have much people in this city.'" Now, the Apostle Paul was given a special vision about preaching at Corinth. As we've seen, remember back in chapter 16, turn back over there. As far as I can tell in the book of Acts, Paul had at least four of these special visions. Here's the first one we read about, Acts 16, verse 9. "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them." So Paul had these special visions there and here, and then again in Jerusalem, and then again on that ship when that ship was wrecked. So now here's what I want to say. I've never had a special vision from the Lord as the apostles or the prophets did in the past. Any man who stands in the pulpit today and said God spoke to him last night in a vision and that he has a new revelation from God is a liar. Plain and simple. God speaks today to his people through his word, by his servant, through the Holy Spirit, taking the word of God and revealing that unto us. That's why all scripture is given to God, inspired of God, to teach us and to instruct us in the way of grace. Now, in verse, the last part of verse 9, he said, the Lord said to him in this vision, "Don't be afraid, but speak, hold not your peace. I'm with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee." Verse 10, "For I have much people in this city." And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching and preaching, exhorting, persuading, reasoning the word of God among them. Now, the last part of verse 9 and verse 10. Three valid reasons not to fear what men can do, but rather we're to fear God. We don't preach to please men, we preach to honor God. And because we fear him, we do not need to fear men. The Lord says three things. He says, you have my presence, you have my protection, and you have God's purpose. You have my presence. He said, I'm with thee. The Lord said to his people, excuse me, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. Isaiah 41, verse 10 is a precious promise God gives to us. He says this, "Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Fear not. Fear not, Paul. Don't be afraid. His presence, I'm with you. Secondly, protection. No man's going to hurt you. No man's going to hurt you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Our great God rules and controls all things. Now, prior to this, in many cities, we've seen this. Paul was hurt, wasn't he? People did set on him to hurt him, to stone him, to beat him, and all these things. But God said, in this city, no one's going to touch you. Could have the Lord prevented those others' persecutions? Absolutely. But he didn't. For God's own purpose and reason. You see, even the wrath of men and the wrath of man shall praise the Lord, and the remainder of wrath God will restrain. So he said, Paul, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'll never forsake you. I'll protect you. No man shall hurt thee. And then God's purpose. I have much people. I have much people in this city. Who are these people? Who are these people? Well, we are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation. There are chosen people. I have much people in this city, chosen by his grace. Our Lord said, you didn't choose me. I've chosen you. The Father given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to him. Who are these people? Well, they're chosen by his grace. They're bought with his blood, aren't they? Acts chapter 20, verse 28 said, "Feed the church of God, take heed to yourself, and feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood." So God's people here are covenant people, sinners saved by the grace of God, chosen in that covenant of grace, bought with his precious blood. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, and they must be called out with the gospel. And that's what God does. He crosses their path in their life and calls them with the gospel because they are his people. He said, I have much people in this city. We studied recently from Psalm 95 where he says, he is our God. We are the people of his pasture. Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. Isaiah 53:8 said, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. The Lord does have a people, and he does call them out with the gospel of his grace. These people by nature are sinners, by birth, practice, nature, choice. But by the grace of God, he came to save sinners. He came to save his people. They're sinners. They're sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When we were yet without strength, the Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Ungodly, wretched, vile sinners. I have much people in this city, chosen, redeemed, and called, made objects of his grace, trophies of his love. He'll never leave them. He'll never forsake them. He said, I'll lay down my life for the sheep. And Paul continued in closing, verse 11. Paul continued there 18 months, 540 days. He continued there according to the will of God, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. May the Lord be pleased. May the Lord be pleased to cause all of us here to continue continue in preaching and teaching the word of the Lord, continue in supporting the ministry of the gospel, continue in prayer. May the Lord be pleased to use this ministry here to call out his people here. The Lord has much people in this city. I know he does. You know why I know that he does? Because he established a gospel ministry here. And he's calling out his people. There's some people in this city that belong to the Lord that I've not met yet. I will someday, Lord willing. And he'll use this ministry to call out his people, to call out his sheep.